1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire talks are off and the war goes on. And in Gaza, the death toll and humanitarian crisis grow. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
Mohammed Mahdi lives with his family, but there's nothing to eat. So he sets off to find food, joining thousands of Gazans so hungry, they're heading into an area the Israeli military has told them not to go. But this is what they're after, a chance to loot scarce aid from the few passing trucks, precious bags of flour. As Mahdi waits, an armed drone starts shooting. They're shooting at us now, says Mahdi, unshaken. It happens every day.
President Trump kicks off what the White House describes as a working visit to Scotland that includes trips to two of his luxury golf courses and meetings with European officials. But the controversy over Jeffrey Epstein follows him overseas. CBS's Weijia Zhang in Scotland.
He is obviously trying to put an emphasis on what he's working on here in Scotland, potential trade deal with the EU, highlighting the trade deal that he signed with the UK, and also meeting with the Scottish top official. And of course, he's also trying to discredit this renewed interest in the Epstein case.
Two Southwest Airlines flight attendants are being treated for injuries after a passenger jet heading to Las Vegas from Southern California took a dramatic plunge shortly after takeoff today. The airline says it was in response to an alert about a nearby plane. The FAA is investigating. Lori Vallow-Daybell, serving life in prison for killing her two youngest children and a romantic rival in Idaho, receives two more life sentences in Arizona for conspiring to murder her estranged husband and her niece's ex-husband. CBS's Carter Evans.
Daybell is not a lawyer, but she insisted on representing herself at these trials, and the judge warned against it. Obviously, it has not worked out well for her. Her courtroom behavior was erratic, it was combative, and legal experts say her lack of experience hurt her defense.
The penalty flag is thrown on a move by some NFL players and coaches. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The NFL is fining about 100 players and coaches for selling Super Bowl tickets above face value, a violation of league policy. The players will pay a fine of 1.5 times the face value of the tickets. Team employees will be fined 2 times face value. And the accused players won't be allowed to buy tickets for the next 2 Super Bowls unless they're playing in the game.
Paramount, the parent company of CBS, says after receiving final regulatory approval for its merger with Skydance, that it expects the deal will close on August 7th. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Marlins 5-1 at American Family Field. Miami's all-star Kyle Stowers hit his 23rd homer of the season. Otto Lopez capped off a 3-hit day with a tie-breaking double in the 7th inning. Jackson Chourio hit his 17th home run for the season, extending his hitting streak to a career-best 18 games. Brewers starter Freddy Peralta went 5 innings, allowing just 1 run. With 1 on and 1 out in the 7th, the game tied at 1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy replaced left-hander Aaron Ashby with right-hander Nick Mears, who walked the next 2 batters, then gave up that Lopez double. The series continues tomorrow. NFL, Packers training camp continues, but some injuries. The new left guard from the 49ers, Aaron Banks, out today with a back injury. Third-round pick, wide receiver Savion Williams, with a concussion. The players have tomorrow off. The next practice, Sunday morning at 10:30, open to the public. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its 4 seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky. Some areas of smoke out there developing as well. A light breeze with lows in the lower 60s. On Saturday, smoke leaves early. We'll see some peaks of sunshine, highs in the mid-80s. The heat index, though, will be up around 90. It's 78 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, it's Friday, and it's great to see our State Senator Mary Kunish on. And State Senator, really great to have you on for many reasons, but I also have to hit the applause button for what I saw in the news and what has happened in these last couple days at the Capitol. Something positive. Welcome.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you all. This was a good week for in the Indigenous communities here in Minnesota, because we finally got the reward program up and running within the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office. That was something that has taken 2 years. You wouldn't think it should take 2 years, but you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy involved in putting together something like that. All the legal issues, what are the rewards? You know, what do you get a reward for or not? How does it work? The whole financial part of it, like setting up an account and then how to pay it out and who gets the tips. And, you know, it was a lot of work. And I have to thank the office, the Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, for their work on this. You know, former Director Juliet Rudy started it and working on it. Anna Negrete is just finishing up her term as the interim director of MMIR. Now we have a new director. Yeah. That's going to be really exciting. And so thank you to all of those women that worked on this, and then also the agencies that had to work together as well. We want to make sure that those tips that are sent in, and cannot be sent into the MMIR office, but they need to go to the Department of Public Safety. And then they will take those tips and work them and see how it works. There's a couple of tiers the way the money is set up, the rewards. I believe they have set it up so that if there are tips on the identity of people of interest that, you know, pan out, the reward could be anywhere between $1,000 and $2,500. If there is a tip that leads to an arrest for a significant situation or progress, then that's like worth a $5,000 reward. And then up to $10,000 for locating the remains or closing out the long-term unsolved cases. We know that there are people out there that have information that for whatever reason, whether they're afraid to speak, they're ashamed to speak, they're worried that there will be retaliation. The way that they have set this up, whoever sends in those tips, it's 100% anonymous, and the names will not be shared. And so I think it's really, really exciting. And again, this is the first one in the country, so we'll see how it goes.
That is so awesome. And I do want to personally give a shout out to Anna Negrete for coming on many times here on Native Roots Radio, and a congratulations to Guadalupe Lopez, who's just an awesome person. And I know she worked many years with Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Wow. And I had her daughter for many years as a student too. So it's really a small Native community. Ho-wa.
Yes, indeed. I think she will be an incredible asset to that office. She's bringing lots of really great experience and relationships. There's still much, much, much work to do around the MMIR world. There are 16 open active cases right now that they're looking for information on and that these rewards are eligible for. But, this wasn't something that I thought up, but it actually came from a reward system that the city of Duluth and within their police department and their own way of addressing the violence against our Indigenous communities, they actually set this example of a reward fund. And so based on that, before Representative Koslowski was elected into the Minnesota House, I believe they were working on this, and they got it passed up there. And it was because of the work of them and all of the others that worked so hard on it. I thought, again, just like with the task force, Canada did it first. And I'm like, why aren't we doing it? Duluth did it first. Why aren't we doing it at the legislature? So that was the inspiration for it. And very much thankful to Representative Koslowski for carrying this and passing it in the House as well.
I just got to say, we got to give credit where credit's due too, because we always talk about, you know, we need to be at the table. State Senator, you're at the table and moving things forward like this. And I want to give you a shout out too, because you had to go through this and go through a lot of the pressure that came up with this, especially in the Senate. So I want to give you a big shout out.
Thank you.
And I know brought up the license plates. I have a license plate on my car. I seen two of them today. And it's always interesting to say, who's got that? But
I know. And I see them in the most interesting places, places I don't expect to see them. Right. So the really great thing is, you know, this reward system, we were able to start with a little nugget of $250,000 that the legislature allocated. But with the creation of that license plate, the MMIR license plate, and I hope everybody who's out to renew their license plate will choose to have this specialty license plate, because I believe it is the third most popular license plate. It has generated over $100,000 for the reward and for the office. And that means that there are tons of them out there. So I'm really, really proud that we're able to continue to do this work, and we found a way to continue to build those assets of the MMIR office.
It's a big deal. And I got to say, I think it was the second most purchased plate, not the third. And I think the first one was the black and white one, and we beat the Twins, the Lynx, and the Vikings, and
We might have slipped a little to the third spot, but I'm hoping that we will build our way back up. But yeah, I'm just always excited when I see one. And I always say, if you see somebody drive by, you honk your horn with a thumbs up. You know, it's probably, and they have a license plate. It's probably me in my way of saying thank you. I try to carry around some of those kerchiefs like you have in behind you. Uh-huh. And if I see somebody's car parked somewhere, I keep those in my car and I go and put one on their car. So if you ever hear that honk or you see that somebody has put a kerchief on your car, it's my way of saying Chi Miigwech Mopilatanka.
Well, it's a big deal and representation counts and matters. And I totally appreciate you and all the work that you've put into this. And we've talked about it for quite a few years, and it's come to fruition, and that must feel really good.
Yeah, it does.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Oh.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time. And it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and some great news coming out of the Capitol and seeing your vision and many people's vision come to fruition. It's just exciting and a good way to start the show, very positive. Hey, I want to bring up, State Senator, a couple things. First, I want to bring up a positive thing. You have twin baby boy grandchildren. That's huge. And I can see, and our radio audience can't see this, but you have a big smile on your face and you're very happy. And
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about that and the names and whatever you want to talk about with them. But congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I am now the proud grandmother of identical twin boys. They're pretty darn cute. I'm not going to lie. I'm sure everybody thinks they're babies. Their grandkids, their babies are so cute, but they're kind of tiny. One was 4 pounds and something. The other was 5 pounds and something. Lots and lots of hair. I mean, glossy black hair. It's just beautiful. Their names will be Oscar and Issa. And we're just all really thrilled. They're in good health. They're eating really, really well. So we'll just, you'll probably see them on the show eventually as time goes by. But yeah, it's just, you know, in these really tough times when things are not going so well, and you think what will bring joy to a person's life, these two little guys are doing a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, perfect timing. And also, you know, we have twins over here too, grandkids and children, and it makes us even want to fight more for them too, and, mm-hmm. and talk about real issues like you do weekly here and at the Capitol. It's just big congratulations, totally Thank blessed, you. And I can see you're really excited about it too. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, before we get to what you're going to be doing here this week and talk about other things, I just wanted to bring up too, yesterday, Thursday, they brought up that Governor Evers is not going to run again. And geez, that's kind of hard for me, because he was such a good guy. And he stopped a lot of bad bills by vetoing them. And hopefully Wisconsin can come up with another good progressive governor. But just a shout out to Governor Evers. Thanks for all the weekly updates and all the work he's done for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a really good ally for Minnesota, but also for, you know, the Native community. He, you know, was instrumental in making a formal public apology for the boarding school situation. Mm-hmm. He, you know, recognized and celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, Minnesota has made incredible investments in tribal communities, but he also made that a big focus point in his term during his gubernatorial years. He was really committed to supporting and strengthening the well-being of our the Indigenous communities. And when that's happening in Wisconsin and it's happening in Minnesota, you know, we just know that's really good for everyone. And, you know, very similar to Minnesota's government-to-government relationship, Governor Evers really recognized how important it is that those relationships with the tribal nations are a top priority, and he made that happen. And so I will just say formally, thank you for all the good work, Governor Evers, but you'll be missed. And yeah, again, I hope that that Wisconsin will find somebody that can fill those shoes in that way and make the relationship with the tribes a priority going forward as well.
Yeah, I agree. He's been really great with the tribes, and I've got to meet him many times for my former job as a legislator of Ho-Chunk Nation. And, you know, he's there all the time. I have a picture with him and I that I posted on Facebook, and he's got a nice Native medallion on, and he wears that proudly. And he's always there for the tribes. And, you know, they just had a lot of highway change names to the Code Talkers. And of course, he was there and supported that. And yeah, I just got to give a big shout out to Governor Evers. Thank you for everything you've done. And it's been great. I remember this story, State Senator, is that when COVID first came out, the Ho-Chunk Nation was so on top of it, giving the vaccines to elders at first, and then the community members. And I remember meeting him down in Black River Falls, and he was there with his people watching how the Ho-Chunk had done that, because if you remember, the Native community was really on top of that, and of course in Minnesota too with the Native American Community Clinic. But he wanted to see how the Native community and Ho-Chunk specifically was giving out the vaccines. So it was really, he is open and loves the tribes too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You forget how things happened not so long ago. I mean, it was just a couple years ago. And it was amazing how tribes were able to get themselves organized. We shouldn't be surprised, because if you look back traditionally how the tribes always took care of each other, especially those that were most vulnerable, the ill, the elderly. But, you know, we also had a federal government that and a state government that was willing to work with them, alongside them, and support them, and making sure that those vaccinations got to the tribes in a way that in a way that was unlike ever before. I mean, it would be the tribes would be the last ones to get it, and they'd get the remnants of anything, right? If they got anything at all, you know, remember the blankets that were infected with smallpox?
Exactly.
That's what they throw at them. It's amazing how far we've come. And when I say we, I mean tribes and tribal operations, you know, just in our life. I mean, I still remember what it was like when my dad would take us to some of the reservations for events or meetings, and the deplorable conditions and the lack of any kind of influence that the tribes had at the state legislature. Nobody really thought about. And that's how it was when I first began at the legislature. We had to remind, you know, in committees, on the floor, wherever we were meeting, like, have you spoken with the tribes? Have you conferred with the tribes? Do the tribes know this? Why aren't the tribes included in this? And like you just said, representation matters. And I'll just go back to Governor Evers and say, in this case for Wisconsin, his representation really did matter.
Yeah, it really did. And good luck. I don't know if he'll be doing anything else lately when it comes to politically. He's in his 70s. So in some sense, it's a real surprise. In the other sense, it's not. And I know he's deals with health issues all the time, too. So power to him, and a big peeny geegee. You know, I can't remember. Maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I remember he passed a bill that kind of did a roundabout on the Republicans when it came to school lunch. I can't remember. And it said that it would do it forever. Something like that. There was some kind of writing in it. The Republicans.
He kind of pulled a fast one. I forgot about that. I'll have to go back and take a look.
Yeah, but, me too.
You know, he's put in a lot of years. He's, like you said, he's in his middle 70s. We just lost a senator, a Republican senator, Senator Anderson, who I served on two different committees with him. And he was a huge supporter of agriculture, veterans, of you know, the little guy. And so it goes to show that these folks that continue to serve into their, you know, elderly ages really are a valuable asset because of the information and the historic knowledge experiences that they bring. But at the same time, we want them to have, you know, some good end of life years too. So I hope the governor has some plans for some really good R&R and spends his time the best way he can.
So was he still serving the Republic? Oh, see, now I saw the news and I didn't really understand if he was still serving or not. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's sudden then.
Yeah, it was. I think he had some health issues, but, you know, it was not apparent at the end of the session when we were there. I served with him on the Ag Committee, and he sat right across from me in the committee. He was active in the committee, responsive. He was working on a bill for the education omnibus bill. He came to me.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. With Israel Hamas ceasefire talks at a standstill, former U.S. Special Forces Colonel Anthony Aguilar, hired by the U.S. and an Israel-backed group to distribute food in Gaza, tells the BBC.
I witnessed mortar rounds being fired at the crowds of people to keep them controlled onto the Mirag corridor in the south.
After a second day of DOJ questioning, the lawyer for Ghislaine Maxwell wants a pardon. President Trump said he has not thought about it. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Maxwell was convicted of conspiracy in the repeated sexual abuse of young girls. During her trial, some of the victims said they wanted her to be sentenced to life in prison.
In addition to her Idaho life sentence for murdering two of her children and a romantic rival, Lori Vallow Daybell is sentenced to two more life sentences in Arizona. CBS's Carter Evans.
She was also convicted of conspiracy to commit murder. Her prior husband, Charles Vallow, and her niece's ex-husband. That's what she got the two life sentences for today.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Marlins 5-1 at American Family Field. Miami's all-star Kyle Stowers hit his 23rd homer of the season. Otto Lopez capped off a three-hit day with a tie-breaking double in the seventh inning. Jackson Churio hit his 17th home run for the season, extending his hitting streak to a career-best 18 games. Brewers starter Freddie Peralta went five innings, allowing just one run. With one on and one out in the seventh, the game tied at one. Brewers manager Pat Murphy replaced left-hander Aaron Ashby with right-hander Nick Mears, who walked the next two batters, then gave up that Lopez double. The series continues tomorrow. NFL, Packers training camp continues, but some injuries. The new left guard from the 49ers, Aaron Banks, out today with a back injury. Third-round pick, wide receiver Savion Williams, with a concussion. The players have tomorrow off. The next practice, Sunday morning at 10:30, open to the public. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been two spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's five families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky. Some areas of smoke out there developing as well. A light breeze with lows in the lower 60s. On Saturday, smoke leaves early. We'll see some peaks of sunshine, highs in the mid-80s. The heat index, though, will be up around 90. Currently 77 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Wisconsin News headlines for the weekend, who may be in the running for governor next, and previewing our Tuesday show with Joe Thomas. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just catching up weekly, and I know people across Turtle Island really appreciate our conversations and what's going on and kind of perspective from a lawmaker. So it's really cool to have State Senator Mary Kunish on. Hey, I'm always, you're always on the go, so I'm always curious on what your week's like and what you're doing this week. What's on the agenda for you coming up?
Sure. Well, we had the MMIR thing yesterday, and then this week I went on a really cool cruise down the Mississippi River. It was called Native American Navigating Dakota Legacy. And it was a cruise we started in like the Highland Park area, and cruised down downtown St. Paul, turn around, went back up a little bit. And the whole time we were learning about the history of the lake, the people that were in that area, the pivotal moments in history. It was like a floating classroom. And the guides, there were three guides, basically, Marlena Miles and Fern Renville, and then Tanigadin Tuin, the blue hummingbird woman. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that told the stories of their family and ancestors and the history. And it was just really fascinating. It was a hot day. I think it was on Wednesday this was. And but the clouds covered and a breeze blew up and we were on the boat. It was just beautiful. My daughter and one of my granddaughters went with me. And I think it's done through an adult enrichment, that's the summer program. So they have a couple others coming up. It's just a lovely, lovely thing to do. So if you have an opportunity to find out through the Minneapolis Public Schools, this program, I would suggest taking it and trying it. It was, more non-Native folks than Native folks, and just a really great way to spend an evening. But then starting this evening, Friday night, I am flying up to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, for about 5 days for a really cool conference, the Midwest State Legislative Conference. I am the first vice chair of that conference, and it's the Midwest states, like Wisconsin, the Dakotas, what are some of the other ones? And then we have some of our Canadian provinces. So it's like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, Wisconsin, and then the Canadian provinces of Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario. Wow. So we get to build those relationships and understandings about what's happening between the United States and our between our states and our provinces. So I'm really looking forward to it.
That sounds exciting too. Congratulations too. And getting together with other nations just cannot do anything but get you stronger and on the same page. And that's always good. I want to back up a second. And so you're the Native American Navigation Dakota Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. I wanted to jump in there. It started at Watergate Marina, which my boat's in. And so then you head past Bedote, which means the two rivers merge, and that's the Minnesota and the Mississippi. And there's eagle nests all over the place, too.
Oh, yeah. We saw tons of eagles. Yep.
Yeah, so that's exciting, and we'll have to see when next time they do this. Very cool, very very cool. What else you got going on this week? It sounds like you do a lot of fun stuff, but you're also working.
Yeah, so I'll be up in Canada most of the week, and then coming back down, and then I have to fly out to Boston. soon for a quad meeting, we call it the legislative quad meeting. So I am the chair of the American Indian legislators at the federal, you know, across the nation. And then there's the African American, there's the Asian South Pacific and the Latino quad. And, you know, we're all very, very, very concerned about what's happening at the federal level. Mm-hmm. And we know that those cuts and those freezes, the letting go of all those employees, not only are folks of color and our constituents losing their jobs, but now there's nobody in these offices to do the work when there's questions or when work needs to be done. And so we are going to be meeting to talk a little bit about that and how we might address some of the issues, especially like when it comes to Medicare. Yeah. You know, our community members are really the most vulnerable, and it's mostly the kids that are going to be affected by this. And then, of course, education as well. There's a lot of, you know, Trump is trying to bring back Native mascots. He's encouraging those teams that have already changed their name to revert to their past ones. And, you know, it's like, what next?
Well, so, he's got some serious problems here with the Epstein files, and he's got to throw as much as he can out there. And that's just part of his playbook. But it seems to me that this is not catching on. A lot of his base that wanted him to release the Epstein files are really mad, and it's not working and it's not sticking. And I think I heard the Cleveland baseball team said they're not going back.
No,
I haven't heard anything from the Washington team, but I heard that in the news that it was laughable. And then all the other things that he's doing too,
You
know, just trying to deter everybody to really look at the issues. I mean, he's attacking Rosie O'Donnell and Obama. You know, even Obama had to stoop low and respond to his ridiculousness.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's so hard for us because we don't know what to expect or how to prepare. And I know there are schools and school districts that are not going to get grants, that are not going to get funding that we have had in the past from the federal government. And we're already struggling. I mean, there's a finite amount of money that we can take from our taxpayers to pay for our infrastructure, roads, bridges, clean water, clean air, help our farmers, help you know, create a really excellent healthcare program here in Minnesota, but also for education. And when you know, I just heard from one of the tribes where the money that they had earmarked for a number of their cultural programs, those teachers are probably going to be let go. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge loss. Not only, you know, academically, but also culturally, because now the students, whether they're Native or not, are not going to have drumming circle, or maybe they aren't going to have the powwows or the different programming that they had, language classes that they had. And that means that we're, you know, stepping back in time. Mm-hmm. How we can help them at the state level, I don't know, because the only thing we can do is raise taxes, and that's the last thing we want to do is raise taxes.
Right.
But I'm hoping that communities will find a way to also support their schools locally, and that's a huge burden on those communities that just don't have the tax base to generate those dollars.
Right. And then we have MPR's money is being taken down, and that's really affecting a lot of the Native radio stations too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the museums and the libraries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just never in a million years would have thought we would be where we are today. And just, you know, pretty much brokenhearted.
Yeah, well, it's good that we're talking about it and staying on top of things. And, you know, we have to stay vigilant. I know when he was elected, I had to take a week off and from the radio show just because it was so much. But now we're fighting back and bringing in, you know, real news from what you're doing and what you see and things like that. So it's we're the experts on resisting.
Yep. And I also want to remind parents of our Native kids that school is starting soon. Hope you're getting them ready to return to school. But here in Minnesota, every school that has 10 or more Native students is obliged to have a parent advisory board made up of Native parents. And it's really important that our parents participate in this way, whether going to the meetings or being, you know, the chair of the group or not, because those are the folks that are supposed to be working with the district to ensure that our students have the resources that they need to succeed, whether it's culturally relevant programs, materials, activities, or if there are certain academic things that are going on in the school that are not meeting the needs of our Native kids, they have the ability, and they're supposed to create a plan with their district, with their school. And if they don't, they have to report that they are not in conferring with the school. And so please, parents, look out for that and take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, I was in that for St. Paul, and we were non-concurrent one year, and it really shook them up a little bit. Yeah. But hey, you know, get involved. I agree. Thank you, Big Peenigy. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for always stopping in and being a positive breath of fresh air. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Wopi Latanka, everyone.
Hey, up next, Wendy in Sacred.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Here's Wendy with the new Sacred Animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, previously known as the Humane Society of the United States. Yes, they have changed their name. I'm happy that they did that. Anyway, I have some animal facts here. I'm going to try to get through it. I have a cold right now and I have a bad cough. So let's see if I can get through this without coughing. Haley, you sent me a little snippet here about a cougar. So Minneapolis residents raised money to taxidermy a cougar who went viral prowling their neighborhood. So here we go. The Star Tribune, a cougar that had quite the following as it roamed a Minneapolis neighborhood in 2013 until it was killed while crossing a freeway, is having a homecoming of sorts. Taxidermist Meadow Jean Colfield spent a better part of the last 16 months putting the two-year-old male cougar back together at her home in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She will present her work and speak during a reception at Kenwood Community Center. Eventually, the animal will be part of an educational program. Now, you know, when I first read this, I wasn't really sure how to feel about this. So this cougar that was really well known in the community, and people saw it and respected it and watched it and, you know, kind of loved it. And then it got killed on the highway. You know, for me, I'm not sure. I'd like to know how other people feel. Like, do you think that this beautiful animal should be stuffed and put out there in, you know, for education purposes? Or do you think that it should be respectfully, you know, just like buried maybe in a ceremony and whatever? Not really sure how I feel about this. I am leaning towards I'm not happy that they are stuffing this animal. But, you know, okay, that it is what it is, right? Okay, next. This is from One Green Planet. Iceland's biggest whaling company cancels whale hunt for 2025. This is really good news. In a rare win for whales, Iceland's largest commercial whaling company has announced it will not hunt fin whales during the summer of 2025. The decision follows years of controversy, global criticism, and a shrinking market for whale meat in Japan, where the company reports nearly all of its catch. According to the company's CEO, they told Iceland's media outlet that low prices in Japan have made whaling economically unviable this year. The Japanese market has long struggled with failing demand and oversupply of imported whale meat, leading to stockpiles that remain unsold. So this is good news. Although they're still going to be whale hunting, but they're just not going to be hunting fin whales. So there's other types of whales that they will be doing. This story I love. It's been coming up, I don't know why, on my social media feed. I've seen it already a couple of times, but it's always a really good reminder of how we need our wolves. So in 1995, wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park after being eradicated from the area nearly 100 years prior. I think I read somewhere that 1920 was the last wolf that they killed. So they caused them to be extinct there in the area. And most of it was because of ranchers. Ranchers had their cattle And they, you know, of course, you know, they think that the wolves are killing all their cattle, so they killed all the wolves. But anyway, this reintroduction aimed to restore a keystone predator to the ecosystem, which had been altered by the wolves' absence. The wolves captured from Canada were initially released into assimilation pens before being released into the park. The reintroduction led to significant changes in the park's ecosystem, including a shift in elk behavior and recovery of plant life. So here's some more information on it. The wolves were systematically removed from Yellowstone in the early 1900s due to concerns about livestock predation. However, the absence of this apex predator led to an overabundance of elk, which negatively impacted the park's vegetation and other wildlife. I read somewhere that there were like 16,000 elk and deer, and they were just like trampling the vegetation, you know, so nothing was growing. And the elk and the deer, instead of like going, you know, inside the forest and hiding out, were out in the open and just trampling everything. So, you know, brush and bushes and trees and all this vegetation. And plus what they would do is they would reach up and they would eat all the leaves off the trees. So there was nothing growing, and it was terrible. So this is the reintroduction process. In 1995, 14 wolves were captured in Alberta, Canada, and brought to Yellowstone. These wolves were kept in the pens for several months to help them adapt to their new environment. More wolves were released in 1996, bringing the total number of reintroductions to 31. So there were 31 wolves. Now here's where it really gets interesting. It's called the trophic cascade. I love this. The reintroduction of wolves triggered a trophic cascade, meaning changes at the top of the food web, wolves, impacted the entire ecosystem. Elk populations decreased as wolves began hunting them. This allowed for the recovery of plant life, particularly willows and aspens, which had been heavily damaged by the elk. The mere presence of the wolves had a profound impact on elk behavior. The elk became more cautious and avoided areas where they were more vulnerable to predation, like river valleys. The reintroduction of the wolves led to a more balanced and diverse ecosystem in Yellowstone. Plant life recovered, and other wildlife like beavers and birds benefited from the changes. So after the elk, there were less of them. They would go into the forest and hide out because, you know, the wolves were hunting them. In the meantime, all the vegetation would grow. So the plants would grow. Berries would grow on the bushes, so that made the bears come back because there were no, you know, berries for the bears to eat. And then the trees would grow. So in that case, then all birds came back to the area. Now, all the trees and everything that were in this area started growing, and the roots were in the ground. And what happened was it started helping the rivers be more stable. The rivers were stable. It created pools. So like the fish would come, beavers came, they built dams. And it really, after all this time, really became a Garden of Eden. So I love this story. There is a video. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers. And it's a guy with a English accent, and he narrates it. If you ever get a chance, you should watch it. First of all, it's beautiful, the video visually, and then just listening to this guy's voice is really something. It's really quite nice. But anyway, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Back to you, Haley. Back to you, Robert.
Right on. Hey,
you're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to author Laura Bird, recommending books with a connection to nature, and Senator Tammy Baldwin on keeping rural drinking water clean in Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche meets with Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell for a second day. No details on what was asked. Her lawyer, David Marcus.
We're not going to comment on what we're hoping for. We just today and yesterday answered questions.
So she hasn't been offered clemency or anything?
No offers have been made.
President Trump looks to downplay the Epstein-Maxwell story during his Scotland trip, saying it's no time to be talking about pardons. CBS's Weijia Zhang also reports.
As far as what the president's doing to try to move on, he is obviously trying to put an emphasis on what he's working on here in Scotland, potential trade deal with the EU.
Homeland Security has started flying migrants out of a Florida Everglades detention facility. Governor Ron DeSantis saying.
Those flights out of Alligator Alcatraz have begun. The cadence is increasing. We've already had a number of flights in the last few days.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.